The following is a Christians for Messiah Ministries production. Our mandate is to teach God's Word, train God's people, and release God's favor. We now invite you to listen to a powerful message by Dr. Peter Wins as he speaks on the book of Revelation. This is part of a 32-message series called Unexpected Fire. For further study, we encourage you to purchase the book Unexpected Fire by Dr. Peter Wins.
This is study number 2 on our series on the book of Revelation called Unexpected Fire. In this study, we will look at Revelation chapter 1. I'm going to read now the first 3 verses. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. Revelation is about Jesus Christ. These verses start by saying, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, there are many revelations in the book of Revelation, but all of the revelations are part of one great revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus. The book is not called Revelations. It's called Revelation because it is about him. It is a revelation about Jesus' identity, about Jesus' church, about his angels, his blood, his salvation, his Father, his love, his testimony, his battles, his kingdom, his millennial rule, his glory, and his victory over the devil. This book is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It was given to one of his dearest friends, who we know as the Apostle John. He was one of the 12 disciples that Jesus chose to walk with him while he walked the shores of Galilee and moved in the streets of Jerusalem. He trained these apostles to launch the church and bring the Word of God, the apostolic writings, the New Testament to us. This man, John, was specifically chosen to bring to us this powerful end time book called Revelation. Now, John was known as the Apostle of Love. He was a tender man. And we read that once the scripture or the book of Revelation, the message was given to him, that he would show and tell everything that he saw. Now, if you had a dream, and I'm sure that many of you have dreams, when you wake up, you struggle to remember all the details of one small dream. You say, yes, I remember there was this person walking here and such happened. And when you think of that, and then you compare it to what John has given to us, it is absolutely amazing that a man can receive such a detailed revelation like this one. It was a very special man who paid attention to what the Lord spoke to him, and he wrote these things down. I think he must have had a supernatural anointing to be able to capture what he was able to write down and give to us in the book of Revelation. And in Revelation 1 verse 2, it says, John testified to everything that he saw. During the time of the first disciples, an emperor named Domitian took John and banished him to the Isle of Patmos, where he was a slave and a prisoner for many years. It was during that same time when Christians were being persecuted. And for the next 300 years, the Roman Empire persecuted the early church with incarcerations, barbaric tortures, and brutal killings. Christians were fed to lions and bears before great crowds in public arenas. Others were tied with loose ropes to the horns of wild bulls, where they were pummeled or gored to death. Many were crucified as their leader, Christ. Many were ripped in two by catapults, or covered with tar or pitch, and hung on poles. Then they were lit on fire to give the cities light at night. For 300 years, the Christians of the Middle East, Europe, and Asia were tortured for sport by wicked Roman emperors. Through all of this, the church continued to grow rapidly until Roman temples were forsaken and entire towns were converted to Christ. In all of this persecution, with all the martyrs who died at that time, with all of the brutal activities and the tortures that took place, this man, John, lived until he died of natural causes. Of the 12 disciples, he was the only one who did not see death at the hands of his enemies. And he was known even in his senior years as the apostle of love. He's the one who leaned his head on the breast of Jesus at the Last Supper. He's John the Beloved. And what a man the Lord chose to bring this book to us. The Lord said to him in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 11, he says, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches. This tells us that John had to make seven copies of this book of Revelation. Because the Lord says, what you see, write it on a scroll and then send it to the seven churches. Now, I have visited the sites of most of those churches, and they're not on the same corner like in the United States. They are miles apart from each other, many days' journeys from each other. So one scroll would not suffice. John had to record this seven times, and he wrote a specific letter at the beginning of this book of Revelation to each of those churches in particular, and then gave them a full copy of the book of Revelation as well. When Jesus appears to John in this first chapter, John thinks he's going to die. Let's read about it. In verse 9, it says, I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the Isle of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamon, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around. This is John speaking. He says, I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and of Hades. This was a big shock to the system when John was on the Isle of Patmos and he hears a sound like the roar of thunder, and he turns around to see one whom he describes that looked like the Son of Man. Now, he was Jesus, one of Jesus' best friends. He walked with him for 3 years. They slept in the same room. They walked along the trails together. They went out on the boat together. They ministered to the people together. He knew Jesus. If any man can know a brother or a friend, John knew Jesus. But this was completely different than what he had ever known. This was not the sandaled teacher on the shores of Galilee. This was not the rabbi who was asleep in the boat, or the one who cuddled little children and rubbed their hair and put them on his knee. This was not the same Jesus who took the loaves and broke it, or who spoke to the woman at the well and told her about her life. This was not the same Jesus who raised the Lazarus, the man named Lazarus, back to life again. This was a different Jesus than the one that John had known. And it was so vital that this experience happened to John at the very beginning of the book of Revelation. For if he had not seen Jesus in all of his glory as the warrior king of heaven, how could he have faith for what he was about to see? And the first revelation that John is given is the revelation of what Jesus looks like today. The Bible says his eyes are a blaze of fire and his hair is white like snow. His face shines like the sun and his whole body is like burning bronze. Even his feet are shining like that. His voice is like thunder. This is the one who is the lion of the tribe of Judah. There is none who can stand before him. None who could ever hold a weapon against him. None who could even come close to hurting him unless he willingly lays his life down like he did on the cross. There is none like this Jesus. And John remembered what Moses said in the scriptures, when Moses said, "Show me your glory." And the Lord said to Moses, "No man can see God and live." And John, perhaps at this moment, remembered the Old Testament scripture and thought, "I am a dead man for sure. I've just seen the Lord God." And he became like a dead man. I remember an experience that I had while visiting Derek Prince Ministries in North Carolina a number of years ago. And as I was there, because Derek Prince is my grandfather, they were asking me to come and travel on his behalf and preach the gospel around the world for Derek Prince Ministries. And for a time, I was glad to do that. But while I was visiting and they were interviewing me, the board was talking to me and showing me about the ministry and how it was functioning. It was a great time of fellowship together. And after it was complete, I had a free day. And I was staying with a friend who lived on the outskirts of the city of Charlotte here in North Carolina in the United States. And I decided to go for a walk. And I got up in the morning and I said, "Lord, today, like every day, I just want to be your disciple. I want to go for a walk with you." And I left the house and I started walking down the street and I was talking with the Lord. And I came to a place where I saw a field, and behind the field there was a forest. And there were some paths going through the forest. And I said, Lord, I want to go for a walk with you in the forest. And I walked into the forest. There I could see the markers for some homes that were going to be built in that place. I imagine they would take the trees down and they would be building the homes there. But there was a tractor trail now through the forest. And so I walked along this trail and talking with the Lord, and the Lord was speaking to me, and we were having good fellowship. And all of a sudden, I saw something very large shake the trees some 50 feet in front of me. And I thought to myself, that must be a deer in the forest. And I have somewhat of an inquisitive nature. So I said, I must go see what that is. So I walked into the forest, and all of a sudden, I saw now off a little further in the distance, something black, just the back end of it, and it jumped over a log. And I thought, my goodness, what could that be? It's either a big dog or a wild pig, a wild boar. And in either case, out here in the forest, I better find a tree to stand behind in case that creature comes at me so I can climb it. And so I went and stood beside a tree, and then I saw this creature walk out into an area of the forest where the sunlight was shining down into an open place. It was perhaps 30 yards away from me, and what I saw was a black panther. Now, I am somewhat of a naturalist and a studier of animals, and I know them very well. This was a full-grown black panther with a long, sweeping tail. It had green eyes, and its white whiskers were shining as they caught the rays of the sun that were coming through the forest. All of a sudden, the black panther turned and looked at me. Its mouth was open. I could see its teeth and its green eyes shining in the sunlight. And I thought to myself, I'm a dead man. I thought, I can't outrun this creature. If I yell, nobody will hear me in the forest, and this tree will not help me because panthers can climb trees very well. And all I said was, Jesus, Jesus. It was as if the blood drained out of me and my legs became weak, and I started to back up very slowly as I kept my eyes on the cat, and the cat kept his eyes on me. And when I got behind some bushes, I turned and ran with all that I had within me, which, looking back on it, was probably a foolish thing, since animals love to run after things that are running. And I ran, I fell and tripped and got dirt all over my trousers, and I got up and ran out of the forest totally exhausted. Now, the panther did not follow. Later, I had some prophetic words from some prophets in the nation who heard about the story and told me that it was a sign of the apostolic age coming and some other. It linked up with some prophetic words of the black panther coming to the city of Charlotte. And I knew that this was an experience from the Lord, although it took many years for me to understand all that was behind it. But I think that must have been somewhat the way John felt, only worse, when he saw the Lord Almighty standing before him in all of his glory and majesty, like a flame of fire, and he fell to the ground. All the blood must have felt like it drained out of him. His knees got weak, and he had no strength even to remain standing, and absolutely collapsed in fear and panic. But the Lord came and put his hand on him. Many people who look at the book of Revelation have that kind of thought. Maybe as you read the book of Revelation, you get a fear that comes over you, and you feel like the blood is draining out of you because you say, look at the destruction that is coming. I don't want to be here during such a time. But at that time, the Lord Almighty, the Lord Jesus, comes to John and puts his hand on him. And he says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I have the keys of death and of hell. Whew. John must have been still shaky when he rose to his feet and looked at the awesome Lord of glory who was standing before him. But this book of Revelation is about partnership with God. It's about partnership with Jesus. It's not for you to be afraid. It hasn't been given to you to bring dread to you. It's been given to you to show the victory of God and to call you into position as one who will stand with the armies of heaven for the end time glory of God to come upon the earth. Do you remember in the book of Matthew where the Lord Jesus is teaching and he talks about the end of the age? He says there will be wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and all kinds of calamities. And then he says, but do not be afraid, for these are the beginnings of birth pains. What is about to be born is what these studies are all about. It's the powerful end time church of the living God, anointed with power and authority. As we see this picture of Jesus, who's standing first behind John and then face to face with him, we find two very significant details that must not be overlooked. First of all, in chapter 1 and verse 10, we read, on the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and Jesus was standing in the middle of the lampstands. It's a point that is easily overlooked by the casual reader. So at the end of this chapter, the Lord brings the lampstands back into perspective. You read also, as we find the description of Jesus, in verse 16, it says, in his right hand, he held seven stars. So here we see this picture of Jesus standing in the middle of the golden lampstands. And in his right hand, he has stars. As we come to the end of this chapter, we read verse 19. It says, write therefore what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and of the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. So with all of the things that have happened in this first chapter, before we go on to the next study, we must take a look at what Jesus is emphasizing. We have many things that we could emphasize, but what is he emphasizing? He brings this front and center to John. He said, two things take careful note of. That I am standing among the lampstands. And I want to tell you what the lampstands are. They are the churches. And in my hand, there are stars. And he says those stars are the angels. Now, when we look into the Greek, the word angel means messenger. So some people will say, well, these are the seven pastors. But in other, the seven pastors of the seven churches. But actually, as you read through the book, you'll find there are many places where stars are again used to refer to angels. Angels that descend from heaven. Like the one who descends from heaven. It says, and a star descended from heaven and unlocked the bottomless pit to let the beast out. And we know that that is an angel because he has a key and he unlocks a door. So throughout the book, we see that these stars are actually angels. Now, why is this significant? Why does the Lord want John to understand that the lampstand representing the church and the stars representing the angels are important? In the very first revelation, we see Jesus standing with his church and holding on to his angels. What is the explicit message in this? It's very clear. He is telling us that the book of Revelation and the end time plans of God shall not unfold just because God or Jesus implements judgments and miracles and revivals all by themselves. No, that is not his divine plan. His plan is to do it with his people and with the angels. That's why he's standing in the middle of the lampstands. That's why the lampstands, the church, is emphasized. Because throughout this book, we will see over and over, chapter after chapter, how the Lord is calling his people up to prophesy, to pray, to stand with him, to minister evangelistically to the fallen people of the world, to call the dying people unto salvation. The Lord could do it all himself, but he chooses not to do it all himself. He chooses to use you. You who are hearing this message today, there's a call of God that goes out to you. The Lord says, I'm not going to bring the end time trauma about without your help, without your participation. Does he need you? No. Does he want you? Yes. Of course he wants you. And because that is his plan, in that regard, he needs you. And today, it's time to get your eyes off of the things that don't matter in this world. It's time to take your eyes off of the materialistic things, off the things that are of lesser value. Too many people are puddling in the puddles instead of swimming in the oceans of the purposes of God. This is my Father's world, and he's coming to take control and to set up his throne. And it's time that the Church of Jesus Christ stood with the Lord God Almighty and said, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And as Isaiah said, here I am, Lord. Send me, refine me, cleanse me, use me for your glory. That's what the Lord is looking for. So the book of Revelation requires your participation, and not yours alone. It also requires the work of the angels. The Lord has a great number of different kinds of angels. There are 100 million angels right now that are swirling above the heavens, above the throne of God. We will read about them in the next few chapters. Actually, in chapter 5 and 6, we read about 100 million angels. And then there are archangels. And an archangel has a responsibility. He is called a prince with God, like Gabriel or Michael. And they are leaders over a principality. They are called archangels. And then there are seraphim and cherubim, who are the most powerful creatures in the universe besides the Trinity. And we will describe them as we go further into the book. But the Lord is saying this: I have angels of many different descriptions, and I have people from the nations of the earth who I have bought with my blood, and I'm calling them now, whether they're in heaven joining with me in prayer, or whether they are on the earth working with me day to day for my glory and for the extension of my kingdom. I call you, Church of the Living God, to walk with me from the foothills into the mountains of the book of Revelation, and watch as the glory of God falls upon the planet and the banner of heaven is raised and the wind of the Holy Spirit comes and Satan is defeated and God's blessings come upon the church and upon Israel. It's time to get ready. We've had now the first revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. There's many more introductions to come before the great battles can begin.
If after hearing this message you would like prayer or further information about our ministry, email Dr. Peter Wins at winsusa@comporium.net. That's WYNSUSA@comporium.net. For additional teaching and other CMM resources, visit our websites at peterwins.org or unexpectedfire.com. Your financial contributions help this ministry continue. Your support is greatly appreciated. For tax receipts, send donations to Christians for Messiah Ministries, P.O. Box 36324, Rock Hill, South Carolina, 29732. We hope that you have enjoyed this powerful teaching by Dr. Peter Wins. We trust that it has taught you in the ways of the Lord, that it has helped to train you to be a better disciple, and that because of this teaching, you will receive more of God's blessings and favor on your life. From all of us here at CMM to all of you who are listening, we extend God's richest blessings.